Beyond the Dark on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's talk now to Fred Robinson, who is Ghost Walks in Liverpool, and we're going to talk about time travel, which is fascinating. Hello, Fred.
Hello, Pete.
Fred, first of all, tell us about Ghost Walks in Liverpool, because more and more people are doing it now. It seems to be a really spooky city.
It is. It's unbelievably spooky. It's got such a long history, and there's so many things happened in and around Liverpool that it's just teeming with spooky stories. And we run haunted Liverpool ghost walks in aid of Fresh Hills Animal Rescue, with the blessing of Tom Slemon, who has written a series of books on the subject of ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
And we do use a lot of Tom's stories, but along the way. We have encountered some rather strange experiences.
And that's what we want to hear about. So you take your time, Fred, and tell us about them experiences.
Right. Well, on the ghost walk side of it, what we do, we start out from a given point and we go round streets in the Georgian Quarter and tell stories. And then we proceed into the cemetery alongside the Anglican Cathedral, where the most of our stories have actually been accompanied by some rather strange photographs. Not taken by us, I add, but taken by members of the public. We do one story about a chap called Huskisson, and he's buried in the centre of the cemetery in a mausoleum. And as one of our guides was telling a story, someone took a photograph of the guide telling the story, and looking over her right shoulder from inside the mausoleum were two skulls. And it was only pointed out to us a couple of days later when we received a photograph and asked to expand the photograph, and they became blatantly obvious.
Really?
About 4 or 5 weeks later, one of the other guides was telling the same story and was had stones thrown at him from inside the mausoleum.
And stones thrown at him?
Stones thrown at him, hit him on the back of the legs. And when we looked, there were stones, pebbles and bits of glass lying on the floor by his feet. He was standing in front of a gate, the gate to the mausoleum, which is padlocked, and there was nobody inside. And another occurrence was when one of our guides was telling a story about Little Grace. A member of the public again took a photograph, just to take a photograph of three figures in the photograph. One was myself. One was the guide, and the other figure was a little girl, about the same height and age as Little Grace would have been when she died.
Wow.
And some of the other things we've had when we've done all-night vigils in the cemetery, we actually had one medium who did a transfiguration. And
tell me what a transfiguration is, please.
A transfiguration is when a medium lets the spirits possess his body or her body, and very often their features change into the features of the person who's in sort of inhabiting the body, which did happen, because I saw his face change. But one person, or one spirit, I should say, tried to inhabit him, and he had to sort of stop it happening, because it was the spirit of a man who'd been hanged in the cemetery, before it was a cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
There's a tree there called the Hanging Tree, apparently, in the cemetery. And this gentleman was hung in the cemetery, or where the cemetery stands, and the medium couldn't accommodate him because he was getting a choking sensation and he couldn't breathe.
Wow.
So he had to resist the spirit inhabiting him.
Fred, does all this get told to you when you're on the ghost walks?
Most of it does, yes.
It must be a very, very interesting ghost walk.
Oh, it's amazing.
Tell us where it goes. Tell us roughly the route.
It starts in Edgerton Street, which is off Catherine Street. And we go through along Catherine Street to Back Percy Street. And we tell a story by Back Percy Street. And then we go on to Huskisson Street and tell another story there, followed by another one by Gambier Terrace. And when we leave Gambier Terrace, we make our way down into the cemetery, St. James's Cemetery. And when we get there, we do a number of other stories in the cemetery, which is followed by a ghost hunt with EMF meters.
Now explain what that is.
EMF meters. A ghost hunt is EMF meters. EMF stands for electric magnetic frequency meters, which picks up electric currents given off, obviously by cables and streetlights, things like that. But as there's no streetlights or anything in the cemetery, there's nothing there for electrical for the meters to pick up. One of the other things they do
Hello,
pick up.
Can you come in?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm listening to everything you're saying.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking to me when you said come in.
Hang on. I've got to stop you there. You heard me say come in.
Yeah.
But I never said come in.
I'm
sitting here on my own listening to you.
Yeah.
And you heard me say come in.
Yes.
No.
I thought I'd faded away and you saying come in.
I haven't spoke.
Well,
this is spooky, Fred.
Honestly, I thought you were saying, when I thought you were either saying to me, come in, or someone knocking on the door to come in.
Oh, this is spooky, Fred.
Oh, no, Peter.
No, don't start me on all this, Fred, because I hate all this stuff.
No, you said to me, you said, come in. Honestly, I swear I heard you say, come in.
So, this is ridiculous.
I definitely heard you say, come in.
All right, well,
yeah.
Something's really going on. So carry on, go on.
Yeah. Yes, and another thing we do, the meters pick up, is the electrical frequency given off by spirits. And when we go around the cemetery, we use these meters to try and pick up the frequency given off by spirits that are trying to materialize.
Yeah.
So sometimes they don't go off at all. Very often they will go off. And I think the biggest, it was like a mass, how can I put it? We had about 3 meters given to a group of people, and all 3 meters went off in the same area.
Mm.
Simultaneously.
I presume, Fred, that you're really into this yourself.
I am. My wife says it's partly down to me that the ghost walk started.
And what is your interest? Where do you come from yourself on this?
Well, I've always been interested in the ghosts and paranormal side of it. It's just something, I don't know, call it a morbid fascination, but it's always something I've been really fascinated with, ghost stories, films, anything like that.
And have you seen ghosts yourself?
Well, I've had an experience which is not actually, I haven't actually seen a ghost, but I have had an experience at home where I was sitting watching the TV one afternoon. It was just me and the dog, and I felt a tap on my arm, like somebody poking me in the arm. And I jumped up and my blood was pumping, my heart was pounding, and I thought, oh, I've dozed off and I've dreamt it. But as my heart was pounding and my blood was pumping through my veins, it happened again.
Wow.
With about 30 seconds later.
Now, as somebody who's into this in a big way, where does time travel come into your life?
Time travel is just something I wish I could do.
Which way would you go, forward or back?
I think I'd go back, almost certainly.
I'd come with you to get my mum. Come with you to find my mum.
Well, I lost my mum many years ago.
Me as well, but I'd like to see my mum.
Yeah, I'm just fascinated with history, you know, like local history.
Yeah.
And we do actually do talks on time travel as well. We do talk about things like the Philadelphia Experiment, which started off in 1943 in Philadelphia, which started off as an experiment to make battleships invisible. And the tests they did actually made the ship disappear and reappear hundreds of miles away seconds later. And then it disappeared again and reappeared where it first came from. And it was moved in time because some of the crew said that they'd gone back in time to, I think it was about 1930-something. They'd gone back about 20 years in time. And it was really a strange one there. And we also do different ways of travelling in time. Such things like wormholes, time portals, time machines, things like you'd see in the films on TV or in Star Trek and things like that.
It is a fascinating subject, isn't it, time travel?
Yeah, it's amazing. And then there's the famous one about the grandfather paradox, which I shan't go into, but it's something we deal with in the time travel evenings. It's called the grandfather paradox.
So you do evenings as well. And does that money go to the charity?
All the money, everything we do, the profits go to Freshfields Animal Rescue.
Tell us briefly about Freshfields.
Freshfields was set up in the 1970s by a lady called Leslie... forgotten the second name now, but it started off one day when she went to the vet and somebody walked in with a dog and said to the vet, "I can't afford to keep it, will you put it down?" And the lady walked out with the dog, and that's how it started.
Wow.
Because she didn't want the dog to be put down.
And in these days, Fred, it's so hard to find charity money, so all the money from the walks and the talks go to help with this.
Yes,
that's fabulous.
Everything.
That's fabulous.
And they do keep, they don't turn any animal away. They have cats, dogs, birds, chickens, pigs, sheep, you name it.
Can people go and visit, by the way?
Yes, it's open 5 days a week. Thursday through to Monday, I think it is. It's open 2 till 4 for the public. They can go in and have a look at animals to adopt if they want, or they can help out by fostering animals, because the centre has always got a waiting list of animals to come in.
That's incredible. That's really good. Well, what I'm going to do now with you, Fred, is I want you to tell me when the talks are on and when the tours are on, and then I want you to finish off with the spookiest story you know.
Right.
So when are the tours on?
Right, the tours are on of a weekend, Thursday through to Sunday. We do usually one a night, with the exception of this weekend, because we're with Halloween. Mm-hmm. We've got extra tours on. We've got 8 walks on Monday,
wow,
with it being Halloween.
Yeah,
that's 8 walks in one night.
How do they book those?
You can book online. We prefer people to book online.
So what's it called online? What do they look for?
The website is www.ghostwalks.org.
Smash him. So that's the best way to book?
That's the best way to book, because we do have limitations on the number of people we take on a walk.
Fred, give us the email, the website again.
It's www.ghostwalks.org.
And will they find out also about the time travel talks on that?
Yes, yes. Everything goes onto the website.
Fab. That's
yeah,
great.
We have Ghost Walks, we have Three Witches, we have Captain Moonlight. There's a gentleman, Clem, he's the Raffles of Liverpool. I don't know if you remember.
So there's loads. So go on to the website.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Right, Fred, to finish off, it's late, it's spooky, it's dark. I want you to tell me a story that is the most unexplainable one you know.
Right. Most unexplainable one I know. It's actually took place in Chilwell by Menlove Gardens when a young lady... Yvonne, I think her name was walking up to her friend's house, and as she passed Menlove Gardens, she heard someone whistling. And she thought nothing of it, just thought it was somebody walking along being cheerful and happy-go-lucky. And the whistling started getting closer and closer. And she turned around to see a man behind her, walking up, as she thought, to walk past. And so she started to walk a bit quicker. And the quicker she walked, the quicker the man moved. And as she was walking along, the two young ladies on the other side of the road who looked over at her and screamed and ran as though their life depended on it. And she turned round to see the man was almost upon her, and he just had two black holes for eyes and no legs. And on further investigation, obviously she ran. She ran up, crossed Walton Road, and as she crossed Walton Road, the whistling slowly faded away. But it was later investigated by a medium, and it turned out to be a man who worked in the area, in one of the houses in the area. And he'd been drafted to go to war in the First World War and lost both legs. And as a result of that, he ended up selling matches on street corners. And he died a very lonely man, miserable and hungry. All he had to do was things like sell matches and scrounge food wherever he could. But the thought that I walk along that area frequently, and he was seen as late as 1998. It was the last report I've heard of him being seen or heard. And I still go around that area quite a lot now.